Mark chapter 10. The message today is appropriately little children. And you'll see why in a moment in the will of God. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 13. What I'm going to do is give you the additional thoughts that are found in Matthew and in Luke as well, because this account of little children is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I'll give you the details from all of them as we read. And when I get through, I have a request. Verse 13. And they brought unto him the little children, that he should touch them. Now that would be enough, but Matthew tells us what is involved in touching them. They brought him their little children, that he should lay his hands on them and pray. So that's what's meant by that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was moved with indignation and said, "Allow the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall in no wise enter therein." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hand upon them. And Luke tells us that these little children, some of them were babies, little babies, were brought to Jesus. And that is why I want Raymond Anshin to go and get Michael and Christopher and bring them here, because they are going to be brought for a blessing. Notice, we're not baptizing infants, because the Bible never tells us about that. But I have read you that there is a precedent for fathers and mothers who love their children and want them early in life to get a head start. You are familiar with the head start of man. Well, this is the head start of God, and it is bringing little children. And so I expect to do what with fear and trembling I never do, hold children in my arms. But in this instance, I must. So mother and father, come up here. Come over here with Michael and Christopher. Okay. One moment, we'll get Michael then. You see, there's Michael the Archangel and St. Christopher. So that's a good start already. And so it says that the Lord laid his hand upon them, and it says he held them in his arms, and so Uncle John is going to hold them in his arms. Let me hold this one in my arm. And now I've laid my hands on them and I'm going to pray. Our Father, we thank you that there are those who early in life would bring their children and have them dedicated and seek the blessing of God upon them. We thank you that Raymond and Gigi have done this, that they confess Christ as Savior, and they want their children, Michael and Christopher, also to know that Savior. And so bless them, Father, for having a heart for God, not only for themselves, but for their children. And as thy Son prayed for them and blessed them, it is our prayer, Father, that they shall be blessed. Keep them from the sins of this present evil world, our God, and let the Word of God find a place in their hearts. And may they early in life trust Christ as Savior. Bless this family, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Such a thing as beautiful as this is recorded in no less than three of the four Gospels. And who could ever think of such a thing, that someone coming to the Lord Jesus and saying to him, we want you to lay your hands upon our children and we want you to bless them. And it said that those closest to Christ, his apostles, rebuked them. It shows that even those that are familiar with the Lord Jesus have heard his teachings, they evidently have not as yet learned his heart, that Jesus loves the little children. And what is so good about this illustration given to us three times, and also in Matthew 18, another incident, is this, that some parents have it in their heart, without being taught, without being asked, to bring their children to Jesus for blessing. Now let me ask you this. Did your parents ever bring you to the preacher to have him bless you when you were a child? Nor did mine. The only thing I can say is this, that later on in life, mother would at least send me to Sunday school. But that was about the best that I could say. But think of some who want a head start, and you must understand this, all of you parents who say, well now, soon, very soon, I'm going to cause my children to settle down, to become moral, to do good, and to trust Christ as Savior and live as Savior. Do you know how long you've waited? How much time you've wasted? How old are your children? Those are the years that you've wasted. The word is brephos. They brought little babies to Jesus, like Michael and Christopher. And they said, we want you to bless them now. Why? Because it says that Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he is at work when the word of God goes into the heart of children to snatch the word of God out of their hearts. He wants to put before them all the temptations conceivable. And there seem to be more in the world today than when I was a child. And because of that, parents, knowing the wickedness, the subtlety, the power of Satan, want to bring their children to someone greater and more powerful than Satan, that the blessing of God may rest upon them rather than the curse of Satan. Now, in your heart, tell me the truth. Do you think that your behavior, your concern, your activity towards your children is commendable? Do you think the example that you set before your children is commendable? I'm wondering for this reason. The parents bring them to Jesus and they say, you bless them. That is what the Savior must do. Only the Savior can save. Only He can give a sure blessing. But we can do in all our power to get that blessing from the Lord Jesus. I'm thinking of this. There were many who came to Jesus for their own needs. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? What do you want? I want my sight. And so the Lord Jesus gave him his sight. Do you remember that leper that came and said, Lord, that I might be cleansed? And he cleansed him. But you will find that again and again, some came to the Savior, not for themselves, but for their children. Do you remember Jairus and his daughter? And he came to the Lord Jesus and said, my child is at the point of death. And do you remember the father who had a demon-possessed son? He came to the Lord Jesus and besought him, help us if you can. And you have the Syrophoenician woman who said, my child is possessed by a demon. Help me, Lord. And the Lord Jesus helped them all. So think, here is Satan overpowering their children. But when they came to Jesus, the Lord Jesus freed them from that power. And these parents, before Satan gets them in his grip, wants the Lord Jesus to bless them to the degree that they never fall into the power of Satan. So, having done that, understand that it's a scriptural principle to bring your children to the Lord Jesus when they are infants, not to have them baptized, not that this blessing can cause them to be saved. But what happens is this. You do not realize it, but God gives some more opportunities to be saved than others. When the Savior was on earth, those that lived in Capernaum, those that lived where he preached and taught, they had more opportunities than others did. And it says concerning Capernaum, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And just where you live, the Campbells can testify to this. They lived next door to me once. And when we came together, usually the fence, did I witness to you, Jim? Well, of course I did. And that's why they came here for a while. And not only that, but there is Dr. Pedraza. He lived next to me. I witnessed to that man. I prayed for him. And not only so, there was another one named Robert, and I've been in his home and I've told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be that they had never had the light brought to them before, but at least I was there and I told them. And it may be, and this was the only assurance that the parents and relatives and friends of J.D. Montague ever had that he was saved. He lived across the street from me. And I would go over and speak to him, and I tried so often to witness, and I did. And finally, one night, we were watching a Billy Graham crusade together. And Billy Graham told how to be saved so plainly, like the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And I said, amen. I said, that's beautiful. And J.D. said, well, I believe that too. And that was the first time all his relatives ever heard him confess Christ as Savior. And they didn't hear him. They heard me. And so when I told them, their hearts rejoiced, and they said, will you take his funeral? And I did. And so what happens is this, that because of where you move, where you work, God has his children there, and if they're faithful, they will witness to you. And it says that the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11, he began to rebuke those where most of his mighty works had been done because they repented not. And here are some that see miracle after miracle of the Lord Jesus, and they never repent. Understand that the Lord Jesus did not compel them to believe, but he gave them ample opportunity to believe. And this is what you pray for your children. Oh God, may the time come that when the truth is preached to them, their hearts will be tender. And when the word of God gets in that heart, that Satan shall not come and snatch it out, but let the truth of God get in their heart. And may they be born again. And that is what I've prayed for this morning. That these children shall be kept, that they shall live a life of goodness and have the joy of knowing Christ as their Savior, and their fathers and mothers having joy brought into their hearts and not sorrow. What have your children brought to your heart? Because there are some of us that can do things in their youth, but somehow there is a failure. Remember, it is not always your fault. You have done what you can. And you cannot save children yourself. I remember that David, in the Bible, had a son named Absalom. And he was beautiful outwardly, but he was wicked in his heart. And finally, at the last, he rebelled against his father and was seeking to dethrone his father. And Joab, the general, stuck a spear, three spears, in his heart. And he came back and told his uncle David that Absalom is dead. And when that happened, David said, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died in thy stead. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. You see, a father and mother could want to die in their stead, but there's nothing you can do. If you say right now that my child might go to heaven, I will go to hell, God says, it is not acceptable. It wasn't good enough for David to have died in the stead of Absalom. It would do no good. For Abraham to die instead of Isaac, it would do no good. Because there is only one who can die in your stead, and that is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And therefore, you bring your children, and you have them blessed by the Lord Jesus. And nothing is more beautiful than seeing the heart of the Lord Jesus toward children. Think of the disciples. The mothers and fathers bring the children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuke them and said, take them away. The Savior has no time for those children. And the Lord Jesus rebukes his disciples for giving such a command. He said, "Permit the children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." There was an old, rough talking preacher years ago named Dr. DeHaan. And he was at the Raleigh Memorial Auditorium, maybe 30 years or more ago. And I will mention names because you know them. The Snows were the ones who were responsible for getting this meeting started. And Mr. Snow's daughter and husband were there with their grandchildren. And after old Dr. DeHaan, he sounded like he had gravel in his voice when he talked. When he got through preaching the gospel, he said, "Now, if anyone wants to receive Christ as Savior, let me see your hand." And Snow's granddaughter raised her little hand, and her mother pulled the hand down. But Dr. DeHaan had a sharp eye, and he said, "Mother, do not prevent that child from raising her hand. Do not prevent that child from coming to Jesus." And the mother was so embarrassed. You see, she did not think this child knew what she was doing. But the child did know what she was doing. And the Savior says that early in life, they can be blessed. They have understanding. They have recognition. And Dr. DeHaan said, "Let that child come to Christ as early as possible." Because I thought of this. When I was 19 years old, I received Christ as Savior. And it was such a simple thing. I met with sailor boys. I was in the Navy in 44 to 46. And in 1946, the sailors had been having Bible studies. And I learned after 2 weeks that I was a sinner, that joining the church didn't save me, that being baptized didn't save me, that I was a sinner and I must be born again, and that only Jesus Christ could save me. And 2 weeks, I thought on those things for 2 weeks. And then by my bunk, I knelt down and I said, "Lord, I've tried all my life to do good and to do what you say. I've joined the church, but you've told me that that will not get me to heaven. But you've told me that if I'll trust Christ as my Savior, that will get me to heaven." I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm taking you as my Savior." And it was so simple and so truthful and so spontaneous, with no invitation given. I was by myself, that I said, "Lord Jesus, I take you as Savior." That was March the 27th, 1946, over 50 years ago. And I've never doubted that that was the time when I trusted Christ as Savior. But had I lived later in life until this age and someone had told me about Christ, I wonder if my heart would have been tender enough then to receive the truth of the Word of God. And that is why you bring your children to Christ early in life. And you, if you waited so long, you trust Christ as Savior. Because the longer you wait, the harder your heart gets and the more difficult it is to respond to the call of God. Think of Lot having reverence for his uncle Abraham. But then as he gets older, here is a chance to be rich at the expense of Abraham. And his uncle says, "Go, take what you want." And then instead of being one that moved around and lived in tents, as his uncle Abraham did, he went and moved into Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked cities. And then when the time came for God graciously to pull him out, it said that the angels had to take them by the hands and drag them out of that city. And that's what happens. As you get older, sin will grip you more and more, and the voice of God gets fainter and fainter. And finally, God calls, and you do not pay any attention to him at all. Look at your life. What's happening now? Think of the consistency of your life as a professed child of God. Here is what happens in this instance and in Matthew chapter 18. The disciples came to Christ and said, "We want to know which of us is going to be greatest in the kingdom of God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you're not going to get into the kingdom of God." You understand that? You're wondering, what will my reward be when I get to heaven? The Lord Jesus says to this, if you keep behaving the way you are behaving, you may not even get into heaven. Because when such manifestations as pride and desire to be first, to have this place in the world and that place in the world, God looks upon the heart and he says, that is not the likeness of my Son, the Lord Jesus. And so while you're thinking about, I wonder what reward I'll get at the judgment seat of Christ, the Savior says, you may not ever get to the judgment seat of Christ. You may not even get into heaven. He said that to the Jews. They were thinking that for certain, since I'm Abraham's son, then I will have a place in the kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, this is what is going to happen when the kingdom comes. He said, you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob sitting with me in the kingdom of heaven, and you will be cast out. And so examine your souls, search your souls, whether you're genuinely born again or whether you've made a profession. And then that is all that it is. Satan delights in that. A false profession. It says, make your calling and election sure. And the only way that you can make it sure is by living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if not, yes, doubt your salvation and be born again. The Savior said this to show you how blind his apostles could be. They were bringing their children to the Lord Jesus for blessing, and his disciples rebuked them. Take those children away. The Savior has no time for children. Wait until they mature and grow up, and then he can come and have deep conversations with them. The Lord Jesus said, you permit those children to come unto me. Forbid them not. He says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. And I heard one word that the Savior said when he took that child. This child was old enough to have some emotions, and it said when Jesus set him in the midst, the little child was humbling himself. And so the Lord Jesus said, you have to become that way. They are proud. What position am I going to have in the kingdom of heaven? And here's this little child, and the Savior has him in his arms and by his side, and he is humble. Think how proud I would be. Why, Jesus chose me from all the children around and set me in the midst. But the little child humbled himself. There was humility, there was sincerity, there was truth. And the Lord Jesus said, that is the way that you are to become. I remember my mother told me this, that when I was a little boy, people would come to me and look at me and say, you are a pretty little boy. And they would ask me this question, Milton, are you a good little boy? And Mother said, this was my answer, most of the time. You see, I always told the truth. And at the same time, telling the truth, when the truth came, I accepted that truth. And the Lord Jesus says, look at this child. There is truth there. What is so sad is that our Savior was able to find in the midst good little children. There are some children that if you tried to take them and set them in the midst and use them as an example, it would destroy the illustration that you were trying to give. But there were some, and the Savior is not denying the sinfulness of children. This is what the Bible says. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It says that children, as soon as they are born, go astray speaking lies. And that's why I told the truth. And they said, are you a good boy? And I said, most of the time. Because I knew as a little boy that I wasn't good all the time. And so the Savior is not saying that children are sinless, but relatively they are. There is this honesty, there is this truth, this humility, and they are prepared to believe what someone that is over them, an authority, tells them. Just like some children, when their father tells them how to fish or how to hunt or how to prepare something, make something with their hands as a carpenter, they say, my daddy is the best fisherman, he's the best hunter, he's the best carpenter. They think that, they accept that. Well, what is so sad is that you as fathers and mothers do tell your children lies. You lead them astray. But God never does. And what happens is that when you tell children things, they will believe it. And now the Lord Jesus said, except you become as little children. Why? God has said this, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if that is so, then if I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. They do not say, well, how could the blood of Christ cleanse from all sin? They hear one who is in authority tell them the truth, and they believe that truth. And that is why God warns preachers such as I. He says, be not many of you teachers, for you shall receive the heavier judgment. I'm responsible for everything that I've told you. And if I've ever told you anything wrong, you come and tell me. Because you are to believe what is told you. And so that is why you must stick by the Word of God, what is in the book. And therefore, there is humility, there is receptivity. They hear and they believe what they are told. And the Lord Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Thank God for such a declaration from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Here are these little children, and instead of my becoming mature and wanting to be a man, I thank God for this. I thank God that whenever I see children, I want to go up and play with them. I have keys and I'll shake them, and their parents, I'll drive them crazy. I'm still childlike, but some people would describe it, you're still childish, you see, instead of childlike. But I love children because I see them and I can play with them. And at times, as we're checking out at the grocery store counter, they'll be there and one will catch my eye and I'll put my hands over my face and do this and they'll start smiling. And I just love children because there is a spontaneity, there is a love, there is a trust there. And God says, that's what we're to do. And so instead of becoming mature and being aloof and not having that spontaneity and that love and that simplicity about you, you become hard and you do away with others and there is no enjoyment of life. I love to play with children. And God says, except you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So think how wrong the disciples were when fathers and mothers were doing what was right and brought their children to the Lord Jesus, and the servants of Christ were trying to drive them away from the Lord Jesus. And that is what happens in the world today. I've baptized old people, and I've baptized young people. Remarkable. They were twins, little twins. They were 4 or 5 years old, and their father came and said to me, will you baptize my children? I said, let me speak to those children. And as best they were able, when I said, have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Is he the one that died for you on the cross? And the little twins, both of them said, yes. And I said to the father, yes, I will baptize those children. And we went out to the little river, and I took the little children, and I baptized one, and I baptized the other. And I have no regrets. And others will say, no, they must wait until they are able to understand, until they are mature. The Lord Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. And if that little child desires to be baptized and he says, yes, I know Christ as Savior, God says, that is enough. Do not forbid them and say, go away, perhaps in your teens then. Think of this. What would be more tragic? And if you've never been baptized, think of this. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Oh, yes. Have you been baptized? No, it's not important. The Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. And so you say, well, I've trusted Christ as Savior. Well, he told you to be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized and you get to heaven, throughout eternity, you will be one who is in heaven and you've never been baptized. Someone says this, did you obey the Lord Jesus when you were on earth? And you'll have to say, I only trusted him as Savior as a sinner, but I was not obedient to him. And it's the same way about this do in remembrance of me, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. The Savior says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so when you get to heaven, that question will be asked, how often did you remember the Lord? How often did you worship God in spirit and in truth? And you will say, well, once in a while, once a quarter, once a year, once in a while, I did it. And so you'll go through eternity thinking back on your life at the first that I did not do what the Lord Jesus told me. He went to the cross for me and did everything for me. And what have I done for him? Well, I trusted him as Savior, and once in a while I would come out to church. It says you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And this is what we have not done. And that is why instead of saying, well, I'm a carnal Christian, ask yourself, am I a Christian at all? That is the important thing. Now, I think of this. These children were brought to the Lord Jesus. If it were left up to the apostles, they would have been sent away. But the Lord Jesus said, no, bring them to me. And he took them in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and it says, he blessed those children. And think, to be able to say, my child was held in the arms of Jesus Christ, and the Son of God prayed his blessing upon them. But I tell you this with the greatest sorrow, that not even that will assure you a place in heaven. It will make every possible opportunity. It will cause the circumstances of life to be such, but every heart must spontaneously respond to the invitation of God. When the Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, then you must come. But I can assure you that these children are started off early in life and well prepared in life because the Son of God has blessed them. And now Michael and Christopher have started off well in life, and I trust that in the coming day when I'm in heaven, these little ones grown up, I will look and see them and say, do you know that one day I prayed for you? I asked for God to save your souls. And they will say, yes, Uncle John, and God did save our souls. He invited us to come to him, and from our little hearts, we said yes. And may this be true of you and of your children. Let us pray. Our Father, thou dost know we look at our lives, and our lives are shambles. Our lives are inconsistent. We look at our children. Oh God, they're no testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. But your Son says, suffer little children to come unto me. We should have brought them to you long ago. But if we have not, let us bring them to him now. Let us do what we can to make over the failures, and let not our children who are so captured by the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Our God, help us by thy power to take them out of the hands and influence of Satan, and let the Lord Jesus be the one in whose bosom they are held safely, and the one who pronounces his blessing upon them. Help our hearts to be filled with joy, our God, and not sorrow and disappointment. And now, not only for spiritual blessings, but for daily bread as well, for the food and drink that we are about to partake of, we give thee thanks and ask remembrance of others hungry, needy, everywhere. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Meeting is over. And I better go no far in telling you what to do, or the ladies will get after me.